Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You know, Ray Kelly probably visits more mosques than an awful lot of people who believe in the faith that's practiced there. He has reached out to this community, as he's reached out to lots of other communities.
Mayor Bloomberg saying Police Commissioner Ray Kelly does not need to resign over the video that was shown to hundreds of police officers during their training being widely perceived as anti-Muslim, or the way Kelly withheld information from the public about how the film was used, or the NYPD withheld it. But the mayor yesterday publicly did call on Kelly to improve his trust and credibility levels with the Muslim community. The commissioner publicly agreed. Now, after our show on this yesterday, when we discussed the film and the misleading statements the department has given about it, we got a call from a spokeswoman for the producers of the film asking if someone could come on for 10 minutes or so to defend it. So we will talk in a minute to the narrator of the film. First, here for your background is a minute and a half of audio from near the very beginning of the video, The Third Jihad, in which American Muslim leaders in general are criticized.
I had expected to see Muslims in America taking to the streets and protesting against bin Laden. Instead, in the years that followed, we saw many Muslim leaders standing up to defend or support the radicals.
Stop calling them suicide bombers.
They are not suicide bombers, they are heroes.
And it's about time that we have an intifada in this country that changed fundamentally the political dynamics in here.
So I formed my own organization, and I protested.
Where are the Muslims? Where are they in speaking out and condemning terrorism?
Local Muslim leaders refused to participate in the rally. In fact, shortly afterwards, I was outcast by Islamic leadership across the country. And there was even a cartoon published in a Muslim newspaper that portrayed me as a dog cannibalizing a religious leader. It wasn't until I saw this document written in America by American Muslims that I understood what was really going on, a strategy to infiltrate and dominate America. We all know about terrorism. This is the war you don't know about.
An excerpt from near the beginning of The Third Jihad, shown to about 1,500 NYPD recruits, according to press reports. And joining us now, the narrator of the film, whose voice you heard there, Dr. Zudi Jasser. He's an Arizona-based physician, president of the group that he referred to forming there called the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. He testified at Congressman Peter King's hearing on domestic terrorism, and he is an advisor to the Clarion Fund, which produced the film. Dr. Jasser, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you, Brian.
We all agree homegrown Islamist terrorism is a real threat, and the NYPD needs to be vigilant to catch the bad guys before they strike. But what upsets the mayor and other people about your film is how it paints the Muslim community and Muslim leadership in America in general as being out to infiltrate and dominate the United States, the words used at the end of that clip. How do you defend this? Is anything but overbroad propaganda?
Well, absolutely not. I couldn't disagree with you more. I mean, why is it propaganda to say that many of the groups like CARE, the Islamic Society of North America, groups that purport to speak for us, no other faith community in America gets lumped as a monolith, as one community. And what we were talking about in the film is these groups that were listed at the Holy Land Foundation document that showed that the Muslim Brotherhood, based out of Egypt, that started almost 100 years ago, disseminated into hundreds of groups around the world, some of which were violent, some of which are nonviolent, had a document that wasn't disputed by either side and has shown to evolve into many of these groups that are referred to as Muslim Brotherhood legacy groups that are founded on ideologies that are based on political Islam. And the Nidal Hassans of the world, the Faisal Shahzads of the world, don't become radical overnight. We're not saying that CARE necessarily is advocating violence or specific terrorism, but if you look at the NYPD report itself on homegrown terrorism, a seminal report that's used around the world from 2007. These same groups that started a lot of this complaints and grievance mongering about this film don't want to address the core issues. And that report is a seminal report that talks about radicalization. And what this film does is, just as Bernard Lewis in the film, one of the greatest experts in the West on Islam and the history, says, people need to wake up. If we're going to counter terrorism, you can't just do it like a whack-a-mole program countering violence. You have to do it at the beginning, at where they start to separate from society. I, as a Muslim officer in the Navy, attended the Islamic Society in North America. One of the voices you heard there was an imam, and I heard Imam Siraj Wahaj, who is an imam in New York, say that he wanted to replace the Constitution with the Quran. I heard that. I discuss it in my book, The Battle for the Soul of Islam, that's due out later this year, to talk about these issues. And just because I, as a Muslim who loves my faith, am addressing it from a position of tough love, want to talk about these things. I mean, police officers aren't mandated to go over just sort of the Islam 101. This film is available to everyone. There's nothing not factual in it. It talks about groups that purport to lead us. We have other members, other groups like the American Islamic Leadership Coalition really are about reform and want to change these concepts.
Let me follow up. The tone of the film, however, including the tone and some of the specific language of the film, including in the clip that we played from the beginning when people are getting the general message of what is this movie about, seems to conflate these individual radicals or individual radical groups with Muslim Americans in general. You're asking, where were the Muslim Americans demonstrating out in the streets? Where were the leaders? That's not the same as saying there's a specific document that points to the actions of specific radical individuals.
Again, then, and I could express that better than it was narrated, which I said, where are they? We had a rally against terrorism. We invited CARE to a panel when we rolled out the movie in the National Press Club in Washington in 2009 and said, come and debate me. Come and talk about the issues. No, they refused to because it labels them wrong. Well, you know what? They don't want to deal with the ideas. They don't want to deal with the fact that Sharia may be personally fine, but in public, there's laws against apostasy. You will be hard-pressed to find CARE or the Islamic Society of North America or these groups that are petrol-funded from their origins, are often based on foreign money. They will often not address Sharia in Saudi Arabia, Sharia in Iran, all of these ideas that conflate and do not address the root causes of terrorism. They do not want to reform that. They want to make people pay a heavy price, just as you're seeing this week now, and you say, where are the moderates? That was my question, because you know what? We get addressed as anti-Islam. The Center for American Progress identified me as part of the Islamophobia movement. Why? Because I want to reform my faith, because I'm raising my kids to be observant, orthodox Muslims that pray and fast, even, but simply because I want to reform these ideas.
But how effective do you think this is? Even when he first saw it a year ago, Deputy Commissioner Brown, before this firestorm, called the film wacky in an interview with The Village Voice. And the NYPD is not soft on investigating radical Muslims, I think you'll agree. Is this the way to get your own community to have a dialogue rather than a backlash against you?
I think that to say it's wacky is lack of substance. What is the substance there? Nobody's refuted the substance of the movie. They can say things to try to avoid the political discourse. The New York Times and others have an agenda to use many of these things as a weapon in a partisan battle rather than to get to the substance. If the New York Times and others and officers that may call this wacky cared about the substance, they would have called me and said, well, listen, this was said in the film. Is this true? Is this not true? What is your point? Just like you're discussing with me right now.
Wait, do you think the New York Times has an agenda to support radical Islam?
They have an agenda not to allow Muslims to be presented as diverse, to have a desire for reform, to say that we as a faith community need to modernize, need to go through enlightenment of the separation of mosque and state.
You believe the New York Times does not want to see that dialogue take place in the Muslim community?
I believe so. That's been the demonstration of their actions, that they've not given us many Muslims that are reformists like Tariq Fatah, whether it's many of the reformers that work with us, Arif Humayun. I'd ask people to go to AmericanIslamicLeadership.org and see many of the Muslims that are working at reform that are ignored by the so-called mainstream media, because these grievance groups seem to dominate the bandwidth that somehow everybody's against Islam and everybody's against Muslims, when in fact we have a vibrant different battle going on within the House of Islam.
What about Mayor Bloomberg, who's denounced this film? Is he against dialogue within the community?
He's only for dialogue when it's a kumbaya interfaith moment and not to recognize that there are core reforms. If it's about a majority faith like Christianity, sure, they'll talk about reform and criticize the Catholic Church and other things. But if it's a minority faith, God forbid we criticize certain elements that don't allow us and empower reform, and instead they demonize individuals that want to reform, because once it's a minority group, it's used to say that somehow the NYPD is anti-Muslim, anti-Islam, and not recognize that many of us brought some of the same challenges that exist in Cairo,
The New York Times and most of the American media cheering the dialogue that's taking place in the so-called Arab Spring, when the movement is on the one hand for democracy and seems to be ready to overthrow dictatorships and monarchies and not do it with a bin Laden agenda, and then turns around and the U.S. media is critical of those groups when they start latching on to Muslim Brotherhood ideologies and things like that. Isn't that all taking place?
That is, and that's interesting that we have a different standard for foreign discussion within the Muslim community than we do domestically. That somehow there's been when Muslims come to America, they by coming here all of a sudden become Jeffersonian Democrats that separate mosque and state, when it isn't true. We haven't gone through these reforms, and no one wants to challenge the theocrats like CARE or ISNA that bring over the Brotherhood ideology to allow us to show diversity. And you're exactly right. There's a different standard when talking about Egypt and Tunisia and elsewhere, and they don't want to address these things. But even having said that, I still think the administration and others kowtow a bit too much to the Brotherhood and say that, well, that's what Muslims want over there, when in fact we're finding that there's corruption in those elections, and often the secular groups are so divided that they're losing elections, and the secularists need more help from the West, which we're not giving them.
I read in one place, and I don't have this confirmed, that the producers of the movie think like 80% of mosques and Muslim leaders in America are sympathetic to terrorists or a Muslim domination of the United States. Is that your position?
That was the first question I was asked in the hearings in March 2010, and my response to that was these percentages can be misleading. I will tell you that if you look at Muslims as a population, the minority are radical. The minority believe in Islamism. However, when you look at mosques, the active mosque-going population that is only 30-40% of the entire Muslim population, within that population, you're much more apt to have a majority that believe in Islamism. So when you're talking that 80%, we haven't studied it well, but if you look in the Middle East, that 80% we're talking about, if you look at the ones that went to the polls, it seems that the majority are electing Islamists. So when you talk about sympathetic with the Brotherhood, the slippery slope that leads towards radicalization, in which you feel a supremacy towards the West, the domination, the fact that the West is evil and anti-religion and anti-Islam, these ideas are dominating a lot of the leadership of our mosques,
but now
this is what we need to reform.
But now you're telling every other American that they have reason to be suspicious of any Muslim who actually attends religious services.
Not suspicious. The point here is dialogue, not about violence, not suspicious of violence, but about reform. Imagine we were living in America at the time of the revolution. How do you know which American was for the Church of England and which was for freedom and liberty? This is where we are as a Muslim community right now. Not every Muslim is sort of bought into the Establishment Clause and bought into. Yes, they may believe in it as a minority, but when they're at home in their mosques, are they teaching the separation of mosque and state, or are they saying, you know what? We follow the laws of the land as a minority, but Islam is a way of life as far as laws, as far as society, and we want, as a majority, to have an Islamic state. That creates radicalization, just like the NYPD report on homegrown terror talked about. There's stages, and that initial indoctrination involves a belief that the Islamic state is superior, and people need to understand that evangelical Muslim movements in the West are not about violence. It's about spreading the concept of political Islam within our communities. And until we have the courage as a nation to address that and not be smothered by a pressure to say that any discussion of Islam is prohibited and we will strike fear in those that criticize Muslims, we're not going to allow the reform to happen within the Muslim community.
We just have a minute left. All communities need to have internal dialogues about their politics and their excesses. It's good that people like you speak up. but Jews need to have this, Muslims need to have this, Christians need to have this, everybody needs to have this internally. But if you showed anyone in any community a film that portrayed themselves in these kinds of terms with the ominous music, and maybe it's the cross flying over the White House or the Star of David flying over the White House, analogous to what's in this video, do you really think films like that are going to help the cause of dialogue rather than hurt it?
Listen, if I was making the movie myself, I would have showed the spiritual part of my faith. The bottom line is this movie, as Bernard Lewis says, is to wake up people. Those pictures they used were not doctored. Those were taken from the Islamic Thinkers Society. They were taken from Hizb ut-Tahrir. These are movements of tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people around the world that create these pictures. There was a meeting in Chicago of Hizb ut-Tahrir that included 1,000 Muslims that had anti-capitalism, anti-free market, anti-American pictures, just like the one that the New York Times ran from the film as part of their website. So this was not lifted. It was part of the movements that we need to counter, and only Muslims can do that. And part of waking them up, yes, that should not be the only part of the discussion. It's a point of departure to say, okay, this is the problem, the diagnosis, how do we treat it from within? You have to engage Muslims. You can't solve this by demonizing all Muslims. But you can't wake up America to the problem by spending half of a 72-minute film just talking about all the similarities of religion, which especially the police really don't really have time for. They're looking at the process of radicalization.
Dr. Zudi Jasser, narrator of The Third Jihad, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's been a very tough week for Ray Kelly, not only for his credibility taking a hit, but also hearing about rape allegations against his son, the Fox 5 anchor Greg Kelly. That's also putting the Manhattan DA, Cy Vance, in a tough spot investigating the commissioner's son. We'll talk to DA Vance about that, universal DNA testing for people convicted of crimes, and more in a minute.